Good morning. Maybe turn to Deuteronomy 7. I have been pondering something, and I'm not sure I have all the answers on it by any means. I know I don't, but I think it's worth pondering. And what I've been pondering is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and there's kind of maybe a few ways to word the question, but what is the difference, and what do we look for to see, is God pleased with us? Is God's favor resting upon us? And we can use those things maybe to look inward and apply them to ourselves. And I think sometimes there can be a misunderstanding on these things as well, as I've heard people say certain things to me and then say that God is pleased with me or God's favor is resting upon me based on certain things they've observed. But in my mind, something didn't sit well when they said that, because the things they were looking at, I thought, that's not evidence of that. I think that that could lead people astray. And so I thought I'd read here in Deuteronomy 12, it says, "Then it shall come to pass," Deuteronomy 7, 12, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, and increase of the cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." So as I read through there, I saw three things that jumped out to me. One was, obviously, if they were in covenant with God, there was three things. One was that he would bless the fruit of their womb, right? They're going to have lots of children. The second thing I see there is that he was going to bless the fruit of the land, the grain, the new wine. Their cattle were going to have lots of offspring. And in those days, what is that equivalent to? Money. They're going to be prosperous. They're going to have lots of children, and they're going to be prosperous. And the third thing I see here was that they were going to have no sickness. So they're going to have lots of children, they're going to be wealthy, and they're going to be healthy. That is what I see right there in the Old Covenant. And yet, my question is, are those the three things we look at today to see that, hey, God's favor is upon me? Because if that's the case, there's definitely some very worldly people that have a lot of children, that are extremely wealthy, and they still have their health. And I wonder, if we go by that, is that really what we're seeking? Or is there something different that we should be seeking, or something different we should be looking for? And so I was thinking, when did the new covenant begin? We know Jesus came up and he was preaching the kingdom of God. And he was telling them, you know, the kingdom of God, it's near you, but it's going to be in you. And it wasn't going to be so much outward, but it's going to be inward. And there was a change that was coming, and he was preaching about it. And, the new covenant didn't begin with Matthew 1:1. It started in Acts when the Holy Spirit came. That's when the new covenant began, and that's when it became a reality for people, was when we could receive the Holy Spirit. And where did he come? He came to live inside us. And so how is it that we receive the Holy Spirit? I believe it's through faith. It says in Galatians, it says, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? It said it was through faith. In the very beginning of anyone being born again, what do they need? They need to be justified. And if we turn to Romans chapter 5, this is the beginning, the very beginning of the new covenant for each one of us. And we enter that new covenant with Christ. It happens through justification. 5 verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." So here it is. The very beginning of the new covenant is through justification. The blood of Jesus washes away and cleanses us from our former sins. And what do we feel? Peace, rest, joy. Right? The kingdom of God, it says, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the beginning of our walk with God. Right at that moment, right, we're justified. God is well pleased. Why? Because of the faith. We truly believed in what Jesus did for us on the cross. It says, without faith, we cannot please him. And that's where it begins. So all of us, that's where it starts. But obviously, it has to grow from there, right? That faith is going to be evidenced in different ways, right? First, it starts off in a believing in what Jesus did on the cross for us. But then it has to grow. And if we keep reading here, it says, we have peace as a result of that justification with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So this faith, well then, the very same thing that we exercise to receive justification through the blood of Jesus, we need to exercise that same faith then to lay hold of grace. And that grace is then going to help us not just with our past, but then with our present, with the current situation, test, trials, struggles, sin, whatever it might be, so that we can overcome. And that we can then once again have what? Peace. And I really am emphasizing this peace because I think this is a mark of the new covenant, is that we're going to have peace. We're going to have inward peace and rest. It's not an outward thing, but an inward. And I think I'd almost challenge, I think we need to be challenging. Is it truly going to be how many children we have, how much money I have, or how healthy I am that is reflecting how spiritual we are? I would say no. As a matter of fact, I think we can find examples that would contradict that quite clearly. Right? I mean, the Apostle Paul was one. He says he knew how to live with much, but he also knew how to live with very little. I mean, he wasn't very prosperous there at times at all. But yet, he was in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, God used him extensively to build his church. Right? But look at Jesus. He says he had no place to lay his head. He's far from prosperous. Right? And now, what about health? Jesus, he died on the cross. It's through his stripes we can be healed, absolutely. Sickness can be from sin sometimes, it says in John, but it also can be simply for the glory of God. Right? And sometimes the glory of God isn't going to be that he's going to be healed right away. Sometimes it's going to be what happens in the midst of that test, in the midst of our suffering. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yet, it says he had more joy than all of his companions. It wasn't just kind of happy, some kind of outward giddy joy. But there was a complete rest on the inside. In the midst of the trials, there was an inward rest that he had. This is a sign of being in the new covenant. It's not outward, but it's inward. This is important because I think we can get deceived, maybe with respect to others, but even ourselves. I've had people say that they could see, oh, financially, you must have tithed really faithfully because you got all your needs met. Well, is that really what it's about? What does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll provide a dryer. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and you're going to have food to eat. We're going to have clothes to wear. Right? But when those things get tested and, you know, it's not all going well, what are we going to do? Can we still have rest? Can we still have complete peace that God's going to take care of us? That's really what it comes about. Right? I mean, I think of Jason and Candace because it's just evident. I mean, we've been through that multiple times. In the midst of that, we don't understand. In the middle of it, we didn't understand at all. What am I going through? Why? Right? The enemy there is to buffet and try to take away any peace. But in the midst of it, hold on, God was good. God, you're still good. You're still in control. You're still sovereign. Yet I don't understand. And to this day, we don't understand all. But we do understand a little of going through those things. We can see some of the things that God has worked. Some of the things he showed me. Some of the things he taught me. Some of the compassion I can see putting my wife toward others. And with respect to those things, she's got lots of compassion. Right? So God's working those things for our good. In the midst of our tests, what happens? What happens if our health isn't there? What happens if the finances don't come through as normal? Are we able to stand? This is evidence of being in the new covenant. It says that we can have our house firmly built upon a firm foundation, right? Jesus Christ. And when the winds and the storms come, we're not going to teeter. Our house isn't going to crumble, right? the family can still serve the Lord and still give thanks even in the midst of their mourning, right? The Lord gives and he takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, right? That's the heart we want. And so I really think we need to challenge that. And it says when we receive the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, it's also referred to in one place as the Spirit of Grace. And this Spirit of Grace, right? How do we know if we have that Spirit of Grace? One mark is we're not going to have to be a slave of sin anymore. It's an inward thing. Yes, there's some sins that's outward, but how many more are inward? Oh, I can, there's so many things that no one else knows, but I know if I'm impatient, I can feel it right in here. Those are the victories the Lord wants to give, right? I'm going to read that verse, Romans 6, verse 14. This is the test here to see, are we under the law or under grace? It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you're not under law, but under grace. Right? So the new covenant is, we don't have to be slaves of sin. We can have an inward life that is becoming more and more like Christ. Under the new covenant, they didn't have the same hope. Their laws were very much outward. Eating and drinking. But the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? Righteousness, peace, and joy. And I, like I said, I don't have full understanding on this, but I think it's something we can maybe ponder more. And that is that we understand, what are the marks of the new covenant? I really think it's inward, not outward, and it's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that our life, when the tests and the trials come, we don't have to be, our life doesn't have to be shipwrecked or the house doesn't have to be destroyed. Oh, there's going to be tests for sure. And it's going to test our faith and it's going to test. And sure, there's going to be moments where we're anxious. But we can go to him and we can overcome. And I see that happening even with Jason this week. I see that happening. Right? I see that happening with Jason and Candace and some of the things. Hey, there's an overcoming in the midst of a huge test. And that can be for all of us. It's not outward, but the new covenant is inward.